Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who is not only the perfect servant, but who also calls us to be servants like him. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, what are your personal goals in life? Whether consciously or unconsciously, whether deliberately or by default, we all have certain goals that we are striving to attain in our lives. For little children, their goals might be centered on things such as having fun, getting together with their friends, having that cookie even though supper is just about ready, and trying to talk their mom and dad into letting them stay up past their bedtime so that they can watch a certain show on television. As that child gets into the middle school and then the high school age range, then their goals tend to center on things such as making it onto the varsity sports team and perhaps winning a state title, getting their driver's license, or getting good enough grades that they can get that scholarship to the college of their choice, or perhaps just getting good enough grades so that they can graduate. For young adults, their goals in life center on things such as maybe finding that one special person, landing that dream job, or buying their first house. For middle-aged adults, their life goals tend to center on things such as getting their children through college while still preparing for retirement. And without mentioning any names, I know elderly people whose goals in life center on being healthy enough so that they can have fun with their friends, being quick enough so that they can grab that dessert before their spouse or their children tells them no, or being alert enough that they can stay up late enough to watch a certain show on television. What are your goals in life, my friends? We all have certain goals that we are striving to achieve. And yet, even though we are all unique individuals, even though we have a variety of gifts and a variety of abilities, we all have one central goal in life as the saved children of God. As we look at this portion of our text for today, we'll see how the Lord Jesus Christ reminds us that we do indeed have one overriding goal as his dearly beloved brothers and sisters. Today, then, let's listen as our Savior puts his arm across our shoulder and says, "Make it your goal to be the greatest servant." As we study this text under that theme, there are 3 points we want to emphasize. When it comes to the goal of being the greatest servant that we can possibly be, let's consider the motivation, let's consider the malady, and finally, let's consider the method. What is our motivation for striving to be the greatest servant that we can be? The only proper motivation, the only God-pleasing motivation, is found in the opening verses of our text. Mark writes, "They left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were, because he was teaching his disciples. He said to them, 'The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days, he will rise again.'" The eternal Son of God came into this world as the true Son of Man, our flesh and blood brother, with one overriding goal: to serve us. Even though Jesus deserves to have everyone serve him, even though Jesus has the power to compel everyone to serve him, Jesus willingly served us in the most glorious, the most awe-inspiring, the most necessary way possible. He came to die. He came to die for you. He came to die for me. He came to die so that through his innocent suffering and death on the cross, all of our sins would be completely forgiven. And once Jesus served us by dying on the cross in our place, he then served us by physically rising from the dead. He rose for you. He rose for me. He rose from the dead to guarantee to us that through faith in him, we know that one day we too shall rise from our graves and live with Jesus forever in the glory and the perfection, the joy and the happiness of our Heavenly Father's home. Jesus' death and Jesus' resurrection now serve as our motivation for striving to be the greatest servants that we can be. Unfortunately, there is a malady that we all have to contend with. Unfortunately, there are obstacles that try to keep God's children from striving to be the greatest servants they can be. That's brought out in our text in verses 33 and 34. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet, because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Even though Jesus' disciples knew that he is the long-awaited promised Messiah, even though Jesus' disciples knew that he is this world's only Savior from sin, the Lord's disciples misunderstood Jesus' goal for coming into this world. Like many of God's people in this day and age, Jesus' disciples were fully expecting that as the Messiah, Jesus would establish his kingdom right here on this earth with Jerusalem as its capital. Like many of God's people in this day and age, Jesus' disciples were expecting that as the Messiah, he would restore the nation of Israel back to her glory days, the way things were in the days of great King David and in the days of great King Solomon. In line with that misunderstanding of Jesus' goal, the disciples fully anticipated that once the Lord had established his kingdom here on this earth, they would be given positions of power, honor, and prestige. After all, they had been handpicked by the Christ himself to be the 12. At the same time, since there were indeed 12 of them, we're told that they argued about who was the greatest. Isn't that often the way that it is with God's children right down to this very day, my friends, including you and me? Even though we know that Jesus is our Savior, even though we know that Jesus suffered and died on the cross to pay for our sins, all too often we misunderstand what his cross means in and for our lives today. Like the disciples here in our text, we all too often argue and tussle with each other. Like the disciples here in our text, we often compare ourselves to others in the kingdom of God. Like the disciples here in our text, we all too often want other people to look up to us and perhaps consider us to be the greatest pastor, or the greatest teacher, or the greatest friend, or the greatest giver, or the greatest member of our congregation. Yes, all too often, pride, ego, and jealousy are the obstacles that keep us from striving to be the greatest servant that we can be. Once the cross of Jesus Christ crushes those obstacles in our hearts, then we will be able to truly understand. Then we will be able to truly take to heart the method for greatness that our Savior gives to us in our text for this morning. Mark continues, "Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, 'If anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all.'" In the world in which you and I live, the method for achieving greatness very often stresses putting ourselves ahead of everyone else. In the world in which you and I live, the method for achieving greatness very often stresses pulling ourselves up, even if that means pushing others down. Our Lord and Savior takes that method for achieving greatness and turns it upside down. For a child of God, achieving greatness stresses putting other people ahead of yourself. For a child of God, the method for achieving greatness means building others up, even if it means that you lose something for yourself along the way. For a child of God, true greatness is achieved through humble service, serving our Lord by humbly serving others. A beautiful example of the kind of servant that our Savior wants us to be. A beautiful example of the kind of service that our Savior wants to see in our lives today is found in the closing verses of our text. He took a child and had him stand among them. Taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." Anyone who has children knows that at times, children can be completely exasperating. Children don't always recognize what we do for them. Children don't always appreciate what we do for them. Children are very rarely in a position where they can pay us back for what we have done for them. And yet, in spite of all of this, we gladly and willingly do as much as we can to help, to serve our children. I think that's exactly why the good Lord took a little child and held him up as the example for his disciples and for us to follow. Imagine what it would be like if each and every one of us made it our personal goal in life to humbly serve others, even if they don't recognize what we are doing for them. Imagine what it would be like if each and every one of us made it our personal goal in life to humbly serve others, even if they don't appreciate what we do for them. Imagine what it would be like if each and every one of us made it our goal in life to humbly serve others without expecting anything in return. But how, my friends? How can we strive to achieve that goal in our own personal lives? Perhaps the very best way is to start close to home. Take a moment to think of your family and to think of your friends. Who could use some help, and how might you help them? Is there someone who would appreciate simply hearing that they are loved and appreciated? Is there someone who spends a great deal of time alone and would love to be invited over for supper, or perhaps even taken out for supper? Now think of your friends and your neighbors. Is there anyone who is having a difficult time keeping up with their house or keeping up with their yard? Is there anyone who now spends a great deal of time alone and would absolutely love it if someone just came over and visited with them, or maybe helped them with their shopping? Now let's expand that circle just a little bit. How can you strive to make it your personal goal in life to humbly serve your Savior by serving right here in his house? Could you help supply some of the treats that we enjoy each and every Sunday? Could you help with the alto, or with the paraments, or with the music that we have on Sunday morning? Could you help serve your Lord by making sure that his house is clean and presentable at all times? Let's expand that circle one last time. Is there a way that you could achieve your goal of humble service by serving in the community in which you live? Perhaps you could volunteer at a senior center or at a local food bank. I have known people over the course of the years that absolutely loved volunteering at schools. They became like second grandparents to many of those little children. When we stop and look around, my friends, there are any number of ways that we can strive to achieve the goal that our Savior gives to us right here in our text for today. So, what are your personal goals in life? Whether consciously or unconsciously, whether deliberately or by default, we all have certain goals that we are striving to achieve in our own personal life. My prayer this morning is that with the cross of Jesus Christ motivating our hearts, we will daily strive to overcome the maladies of pride and jealousy and ego so that we can strive to follow the method for greatness that our Savior gives to us and strive to be the greatest servant. To God be the glory. Amen. Please rise.